Coming to you from the ancestral territory of the Anishinaabe and the area inhabited by the Mississaugas of the New Credit First Nation, this is Earth Matters. I'm your host, Lawson Hunter. Earth Matters examines the impacts we have on the environment and the natural world around us, seeking solutions, reporting on news and events, presenting positive alternatives, and highlighting the steps others are taking. We hope to inspire you to join the many others who are working to preserve and protect a healthy planet.
You know, a low-income person may have as much or more to gain or lose from climate change than anybody else, but I would find it difficult to ask that person who's probably choosing between, you know, school fees for their kids and medical bills for their grandmother and food on the table, you know, to spend more money on their energy. That won't work, right? That's not fair. They can't manage.
That's Jesse Moore, CEO and co-founder of MCOPA Solar, based in Nairobi, an award-winning company that supplies solar energy kits to over 750,000 homes and villages in Kenya and Uganda through a remarkable micropayment system. Where does MCOPA come from? What does the name stand for?
Sure. So M stands for mobile, and COPA is the Swahili word to borrow. So if you string together MCOPA and solar, that is actually an accurate description of the products we sell and the way we sell them, which is to say solar products on a credit basis or that you borrow through mobile technology. Maybe the only other thing to mention, though, is that in Kenya, the M hyphen something is a very big thing beyond our company. And principally, there's a service here called M-Pesa. M, again, for mobile, Pesa is cash in Swahili. And about 12 years ago now, the biggest phone company in Kenya, which is called Safaricom, Safaricom launched M-Pesa. I had the privilege of working on it briefly. My co-founder at MCOPA was actually the founder of that service. And to make a long story short, M-Pesa's revolutionized Kenya by allowing every single person with a mobile phone, regardless of whether they have a bank account, they can open up a mobile wallet, and it now moves more than half of the GDP of the country every day. So it's a simple and secure way to send money between people. For any Canadian to witness that, they will say, why don't I have that in Hamilton or Toronto or wherever I am? It's just an amazing service, and it's really a big brand. So we worked on that before, and then we left to start a business that would leverage the M-Pesa ecosystem. And obviously, we've borrowed a bit from the brand. We're a strong commercial partner with M-Pesa. That's another important part of the story.
Right. You originally went to Africa, started out in Nairobi, and now you're based in Kenya, and MCOPA is in Kenya and Uganda. So tell us how you came to arrive in Africa.
Yeah, well, it wasn't, you know, I wouldn't have guessed this sort of life path when I was a kid. I grew up in Toronto, and my first real experience abroad was next door in the United States, where I ended up on an undergraduate scholarship in North Carolina, of all places. And the scholarship I had was wonderful, in addition to the great education and 4 years in Chapel Hill. It also brought me the opportunity to go abroad, including my first trip to the African continent, which was for a study abroad semester in South Africa. And from that and a couple other experiences in undergrad, I got very motivated about helping the developing world and helping try to improve the state of living for low-income people. My first pass was to do that more as a charity or an NGO worker. And I spent 5 or 6 years with Care Canada, which I think is still one of the bigger international charities operating out of home. They brought me to Kenya for a number of different projects, and I traveled around the world, but eventually got convinced in the power of business and technology to help, improve again the lives of low-income people. And so I went to business school to do an MBA, which was in the UK, and then worked on M-Pesa the summer of my MBA degree. And then that was kind of it. I was hooked. Nairobi has been our home for 9 years. Both my wife and I, we've had 2 kids born here. My wife's parents have even moved over. It's really quite an amazing place to live. And as you said, the business has expanded into Uganda. We also have a small team now in Nigeria, where I spend about a week a month. So I spend a lot of time in Africa writ large, but also, in other parts of the world as well. So it's been a heck of a ride and lots of exciting travel along the way.
Okay, sounds great. Jesse, tell me what the issue is. What is it, the environmental impact that you're trying to address?
Yeah, the honest truth is the environmental impact is the cherry on top, which isn't to say that I am, the company aren't deeply motivated by environmental impact, but it doesn't begin from a customer proposition, let's say, which is you can help climate. That is a corollary to the main point, which is you don't, as a customer, you want a modern electricity connection and you're sick and tired of burning kerosene every day, right? And I say that carefully, but I think it's a really important point. A low-income person may have as much or more to gain or lose from climate change than anybody else, but I would find it difficult to ask that person who's probably choosing between, school fees for their kids and medical bills for their grandmother and food on the table, to spend more money on their energy. That won't work, right? That's not fair. They can't manage. So in our case, we have really tried to just make energy more affordable. And our competition isn't the grid. It is off-grid products. And principally that comes into the nasty product of kerosene, as in what goes into jet fuel. That fuel is the principal way that East Africans will light their homes at night. It may look at first glance quite romantic to the Canadians when you think of going to the cottage and having a fireside sort of light and camp lights or whatever. But if you're dealing with that day in, day out, the fumes, the cost, the health impacts and the danger of kerosene are really, really terrible. And so people are looking to get off of that. Why they don't have the grid is because the grid doesn't reach them. The grid is too expensive. The grid is, for a number of reasons, just not there yet or may not never get there. And so our proposition became, how can we give people the opportunity to get on a solar system that is standalone, doesn't need the grid, can power off a panel on their roof, can charge up a battery, and that battery can discharge into lighting and other basic home appliances, kind of like Powerwall, if you know that proposition from Tesla. We've been doing that for years, and we've done that 750,000 times, which is to say give these homes a standalone power solution, which works for them off the grid and saves them kerosene from their daily lives.
Now, you and I met briefly at Collision, a high-tech conference in Toronto recently, and it mm-hmm. was interesting to see your company being profiled at a tech conference, but you explained it very well by saying, for two reasons. One, because of the infrastructure, and you just mentioned that there are no transmission lines, so electricity has to be distributed, but also the cellular phone system, again, because the infrastructure, it's almost like Africa has leapfrogged past North America and Europe by not going the big infrastructure route, but by going by cellular phones and solar panels on roofs. So tell me, how is that rolling out in Africa? Is it a good thing? Is it a challenge?
So, yeah, my only sort of mild change to what you said is it's not like Africa's leapfrogging. Africa is leapfrogging. Yeah, it is absolutely a case where in a number of different industries, this continent is ahead, and it's ahead because it has not had legacy infrastructure that may be based on 100-year-old thinking and technologies. But from a clean slate, you can go straight to what is possible with modern technology and with a modern approach. So we have brought, first of all, in terms of our proposition, and I was explaining what we try to do. We try to displace kerosene and other expensive, what I call energy substitutes, and give people solar. What I didn't mention was That's a great idea, except for the fact that it's not very affordable for our customers to buy solar, at least in one go. They are going to have a hard time spending a few hundred dollars to buy a full solar system. What we have done is we've applied a financing solution whereby they pay a deposit and then daily installments that are sort of like usage payments, but as they pay each day, and that's usually around 50 cents a day for power, that also works towards ownership. Same way in Canada that I would have a mortgage for a house. I would put a deposit down, and every month I will pay down my mortgage, and in a couple years or decades or whatever, I'll own the house. And as the bank, which we are also in this case, we are bankrolling our customers, we believe that by displacing the spending on kerosene and reapplying that spending towards our systems, our customers are going to be able to afford it, right? We know that they spend on average about 60 cents a day on kerosene and other things. So if we can offer them something similar for 50, it should be something that they can afford. Again, if a bank gives you a mortgage, they're going to want to see that you're already paying a couple thousand dollars a month in rent, but now you're going to take that money and you're going to put it into your mortgage. So we are really a financing company, and we've applied that mortgage-like innovation to solar, and we've further done it through two really interesting technology revolutions that are taking place here. The first is mobile money. So we talked about M-Pesa before, the fact that almost everybody in East Africa can make a payment from the convenience of their phone in an instant, allows us to collect small top-ups from many people. And a really interesting stat, which I may have mentioned at the conference, but this year M-Copa is going to make its revenues by collecting 31 million individual payments. And by coincidence, 31 million payments in a year is the equivalent of one payment per second. Yeah, so if I take the entire year, there's about 31 million seconds, and we will literally get paid 31 million times, a dollar or two at a time, to get to our revenue plan. It's going to come in all those micro payments. You couldn't do that in a world where you didn't have the ubiquity of these small micro payments and mobile payments possible. Right. So mobile payments is a huge part of it. And on the other side is IoT, or what we, in the West, we now talk about as Internet of Things. Each of the solar systems we sell comes with an embedded connection through a GSM SIM card buried inside near the battery. And what it is doing is helping monitor and make sure the system's performing, but it also is there to shut a system off or back on again, depending on a customer's payment. So we're really leveraging mobile payments, we're really leveraging IoT, and then the solar obviously is its own technology, and bringing those together to make that mortgaging happen. If you, I would definitely call that a leapfrog of energy distribution compared to what we're used to in the West. And I'm fully convinced that this is the way forward, not necessarily for all of this continent, but certainly for the rural areas where it's very expensive for the grid to go, and where increasingly the types of solutions we can offer are, rivaling the grid from a usage perspective. So a few years ago when we started, it was pretty much lighting and phone charging and radios, but we now sell flat screen 32-inch TVs, and we sell 100-liter fridges, and we can sell fans. And you're getting to the point where I can live in a rural African setting off the electricity grid, but with lighting, with phone charging, with a radio, with a TV, with a fridge, and with a fan, I have almost everything I could dream of.
That was a lot of information there.
Sorry.
So
there's a lot going on.
Let's break it down. I definitely want to get to the back end IT, because that sounds like you've got a major investment there. But let's go back another step. And is the payment every day, is that a viable method? It does seem, if you talk about 31 million payments, it seems like a lot of work. Is that the only way to finance these projects?
Pretty much. Yeah, well, the best way would obviously be that people could pay for things in cash, because it's a lot simpler. But again, they don't have a few hundred dollars to buy such systems. And we designed the business to, again, displace or, I'd say, replicate the expenditure patterns that our households were already experiencing, and then just reapply that to something that they would want more and that would be cleaner and better and safer. So if you get into the weeds here and you go to rural Kenya and look at how somebody's buying kerosene, they're not buying like a month's worth at a go. They're not going to Costco and not getting like, you know, a huge bucket size of kerosene. They're going to a small shop and buying a little bottle or even a little plastic bag full of fuel. And that's being bought at 50 cents or a dollar at a time. They'll use that fuel for a day or two at a time, because that's the kind of cash flow that they can afford. The same is true across food and, you know, sanitary products and whatever you can think of. If you're living on a very low income, the ability to save up is very hard. And so you're pretty much living day to day in terms of what you can consume and what you can afford. Our customers, by the way, are, you know, by and large, poor as defined by the World Bank. So on average, they're living on about $1.75 or $1.80 per capita per day. And so, again, if you're living on, say, $10 a day as a household of five, your money it's got to go a long way.
At the end of the day, once they've been paying for a number of years, say, do they get to own the solar panel and you've got a number of different kits, and we'll get into the specifics there, but solar panel and some lights and either a radio or a TV or whatever, depending on how much they pay. At the end of the day, do they get to own that, or is that a rental kind of a agreement?
Yeah, we have always it's ownership. Yeah, we are on a mortgage basis or a lease to own basis, where after a period of time, usually it's about a year or a year and a half, they will own the product. That's for a couple of reasons. The most important is that's what our customers demand. So there's a lot less appeal in a utility model where they're going to pay forever. And I think that's coming from the fact that our customers are really looking for ways to save money, and whatever they can save, they're going to put into, you know, seeds for their farm or books for their kids or, you know, they're trying to make a better life for themselves. So the appeal of being able to save money is the driving factor. But it also is better from a number of business angles. I'll try to make a very short anecdote of it. I don't know if it'll make total sense said quickly, but if we were putting a box in people's home and they have to top up that box by sending in 50 cents a day for it to work, I think there's a real risk that if we are seen to be there forever, that box becomes an enemy. But if every time I pay for that box, I'm getting closer to own it and it's going to be free, then that box is my friend, right? Same way as if you own a house, you're going to treat it well. But if you're renting a house, you know, you might not care if the, you know, something breaks or the paint's peeling. So we feel that we're aligned with our customers, and this is also what they want. So I'd say those are why we got into the business model the way we did. Now, with that said, as a company, we're also looking to build a financial relationship with our customers beyond the first sale. And if they pay for their first product within a specified time frame to qualify, they become eligible for what we call upgrades. And that effectively means that they can get additional solar products from us, additional appliances, or even loans. Like I can lend you cash through M-Pesa. I can send you $50 for your school fee expenses or a medical emergency, which you will then owe me back through the solar system. So I can reopen the payment mechanism and say, great, here's $50, but okay, for the next couple of months, you're going to have to pay again for your power. And our customers really, really value that, because they've proven and they're comfortable with the ability of paying for their power at that rate a day, and getting a very quick loan or getting the opportunity to buy a fridge and then repay it is a comfortable way to get financing. So again, drawing the Western reference, you may pay down the mortgage on your house and then you decide you want to buy a cottage. Well, you'll probably end up getting a mortgage with you know, the collateral of your home to help you finance the second purchase. And that's what we do all the time. We've sold 750,000 homes so far, an initial solar system, and life to date, about half of those customers have upgraded for other things.
31 million micropayments. That's a lot of back end IT that you've got to deal with. How does that happen?
So I'm actually sitting in an office just off of our tech center here. We've been building MCopaNet, which is our in-house platform for pay-as-you-go solar. We've been building this for 7 or 8 years. And as with most big software systems, we have monthly releases and we're always updating and improving what we have. It's a big, very big system, basically custom built for our application and our use. And it, yeah, it has a lot of data in it. It takes up a lot of server capability. We're one of the biggest consumers or customers for Microsoft's cloud solution, which is Microsoft Azure. We're one of their biggest customers in Africa. As a result of that, we've had great visits from the likes of Satya Nadella, and he's written about us in his book. And you know, we're quite famous in Microsoft for being a big customer of theirs, but also using technology to do good. And that's been a great association with them.
So let's get to some of the products. So let's start with the it's the basic unit. It's called the M-Copa 5 Solar Home System. What do you get for that?
So the 5 is our, we also nickname this the classic. This is sort of the traditional product that we've been selling for 7 years, at least a variant of that, the 4, 5, 6, et cetera, the different generations of a solar product. And what you get with that is the lighting, and that comes in 4 LED light bulbs that will, you know, be put around the house, bedrooms, living room, kitchen, etc. You then get mobile phone charging through a USB connection. Then you get a radio that charges off the same USB connection. And last but not least, you get a torch. And a torch is important, in Canada, we would say a flashlight, but a rechargeable light, which you can walk around with, because our customers typically would not have a bathroom in the house. It would be like outside as an outhouse type of setup. And so being able to go outside at night or go to the field is key. So those are the core products in that system.
And
the 5.
That's all powered by an 8-watt solar panel.
Yeah, we have recently updated that to 10. It's a pretty small panel, about the size of a sheet of A3 paper.
And to compare that to North America, the average home might take 2,000 watts.
Well, and just quickly on that, one of the interesting things, we don't talk about this a ton, but another sort of leapfrog that has been part and parcel of what we've had to do here is making things very efficient. And it's not because, I don't care to have bigger solar panels. It's because I can't afford them, or my customers can't afford them. So we have to pack as much into the value proposition as we can. And if we can make lights run on, you know, a fraction of the power capacity that maybe was the case 5-10 years ago, then we can make the whole system available at a lower price. So we really focus on the efficiency of the devices that we sell.
What's the Cadillac of options that you have?
Yeah, so the new Cadillac is called the M-Copa 6000. It would be about 10 times the battery or the power capability of the 5. And that one comes with either a 100-liter fridge or with a 32-inch flat-screen TV, plus 4 lights, plus the torch, plus the radio, and everything else that's in the Classic. It also has longer running hours, just because the battery is so nice and big. And that's actually over to Nigeria, where I told you I was going every month now. That's the product we've just started selling there on a pilot in the last few days. And what we're trying to do there is help customers get off of generators, which are used prolifically across Lagos because the grid is available, but it just doesn't work at all. You know, almost everybody's got a grid connection to their home, but it goes down literally 20 hours a day. And so what everybody has had to do is buy these mini generators, which are kind of like, you know, petrol lawnmowers, and they run all day long at very high expense, terrible for the environment, again, terrible for health, but people have no other solution to keep their power running in their house. What we think will be happening is people will increasingly flip over to solar as long as they can get it on a basis that's affordable.
Now, in order to get all this happening, I mean, you just didn't wake up and pull $20 out of your pocket and say, okay, let's start this. So where did the financing to get this started come from?
So initially we took a bit of a gamble and, you know, moved down here and started, started pushing the idea anyway without any money. So yeah, the first couple months living in Nairobi without a paycheck was definitely a risk. But we were lucky enough to get some seed funding back in 2010, which was about $500,000. The first ever check actually came from the Shell Foundation, the big oil company, who maybe ironically to some, but you know, I know how strategic they are about this stuff. They have, for a very long time, wanted to see renewable energy solutions scaling in emerging markets, and so they've had these funds available for startups. So we qualified for that. We also got a bit of investment from a couple of family foundations in the Netherlands. I can't even remember how I met them initially, but they got interested in what we were doing. And after a couple months, the point was, you know, we had about $500,000 available to build prototypes, start our first 500 sales, and run the operation for a year, year and a half to sort of build up a proof point. And then from there, went to our first proper sort of Series A round of a couple million dollars from some venture capitalists. I'll be the venture capitalists who also want to have social and environmental impact. So the first main investor was a group called Grey Ghost Ventures in Atlanta. And then from there, we've moved up and up to bigger ticket sizes and raised tens of millions of dollars. Most recently, we have a big investment from an investment firm called Generation Investment Management, which is chaired by Al Gore. They're based in San Francisco and London, and they do a lot of clean tech and renewable energy investing. We also have a new investment from FinDev, which is the recently created Canadian Development Finance Institution, which is to say it's part of the Canadian government's foreign strategy to have an investment fund that helps companies that fulfill its mission. They also look for a return, as do our other investors, but they have a long-term view of what we're doing. So those are a couple examples of our investors, but we're now basically a pretty serious growth stage business and have commercial capital behind what's going on.
Great. Now, you mentioned that you developed a few prototypes. Where do you source your solar panels and the LED lights? Where do you get those kits from?
Traditionally, the answer is China. Increasingly, there's a lot of Africa value add. So this is a transition that's not happening overnight. But now we buy the majority of our panels from a solar panel manufacturing plant, which is about an hour outside of Nairobi. We also just worked with the government here, and we're successful in getting, generally local industry was able to get the government to create some new incentives for people to do more local manufacturing. And so some of our products are going to be assembled in Kenya later this year, we hope. We're going to get moving on this right away. So what effectively you have is a supply chain that will always begin in China and greater Asia, but increasingly there's opportunities to do local manufacturing and assembly in Kenya and hopefully in future in other markets, which is both good for your business because it brings your supply chain closer to your customers, but it's also great for job creation.
So in addition to the environmental impact and in addition to the affordability that's brought by M-Pesa and other financial systems, you're also generating local business, local manufacturing. Obviously, your sales forces are going to be local and everybody else. So give us an idea how many people are employed by M-Kopa and what kind of a employment impact are you having in East Africa?
Well, the quick answer is 3,000 people right now. We have two sort of categories. We have our direct employees, and then we have our sales agents. So sales agents work on a commission basis for us, but we have about 2,200 salespeople who in the last month have at least made one sale and are earning some income. Many of those are working, full time and making a lot of income from us. So we have about 2,200 people in the sales force, plus right around 900 employees worldwide. And a handful of those are in China. We also have a bit of a back office in London. But in Kenya today, we have about 600 employees. We have another 200 and something in Uganda, maybe 250, and then a half dozen in Nigeria now. So it's quite a big team, and we are very proud of the opportunities that we've created for the local economy through those jobs.
A remarkable win-win-win story. Jesse Moore, Chief Executive Officer of M-Kopa Solar, thank you very much for sharing that story with us.
Well, thanks for your time and hearing me out. It's great to talk to you.
Lawson Hunter here, host and producer of Earth Matters. I wanted to thank all the listeners of Earth Matters for your continuing support. As always, please feel free to send us your comments, suggestions, and thoughts on topics and people we should look at for future programs. Email us at earthmatters@newsandcomment.com. News, A-N-D, comment.com.